Welcome in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm back here, yes. Today we celebrate Holy Cross Day. It's not often that Holy Cross Day falls on a Sunday. The celebration of Holy Cross Day originated with the dedication of the Church of the Resurrection in 335. Today the festival provides the Church an opportunity to lift up the message of the cross with a spirit of celebration that might not be present on Good Friday. I invite you to stand for our gathering hymn. It is 660, Lift High the Cross. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We will sing This is the Feast, and you will find that on page 149 at the front of your hymnals before the hymns.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross so that he might draw the whole world to himself. To those who look upon the cross, grant your wisdom, healing, and eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Jesus, keep me near you, this I humbly pray. Jesus, my Lord and friend, precious Jesus, blessed Jesus, you're my life, my joy, my friend, precious Jesus, blessed Jesus, your love is a love, your love is a love, your love is a love without end. Precious Jesus.
A reading from Numbers. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out, but the people became discouraged on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Our psalm today will be spoken responsively by whole verse. You will find it on page 4 of your guides to worship. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory. O Lord, you have made known your victory. You have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations. You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing. A reading from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of the proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews ask for signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and the foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel acclamation found on page 151.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpents in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Hello, I'm back. Good to see you all. I'm rusty and relaxed. Well, that's what I said the other day, but last night I wasn't relaxed, so I think I am now. Groundbreaking images previously hidden from the eye were revealed when the James Webb Space Telescope officially began its mission in July 2022. The collaborating scientists from Europe and USA and Canada spent decades developing the telescope. Countless delays and setbacks were ahead, but when it finally launched, actually launched in December, it needed some recalibrating, it revealed breathtaking images of galaxies and star nurseries and starbursts previously hidden from view. Just looking at the pictures, even if you don't understand all the terminology, I don't care about the terminology, but the pictures are magnificent. Patience and persistence led to a discovery that went beyond what could be imagined by most. The scientist worked through the challenges in hope of what lay beyond. And just as the universe holds beauty only revealed with patience and persistence, God's creation, working in and through each of us, is more wondrous than we can hope for or imagine. Sometimes it takes waiting and struggle and failure to catch a glimpse and behold the beauty amidst the chaos. Today we celebrate Holy Cross Sunday, which focuses on the crux of our faith, the impossible yet life-giving message of the cross, and how the message of Christ crucified, proclaimed in the midst of the people, has the potential to shift the narrative of the world. As Paul writes, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those being saved, it is the power of God. Jesus, the cross, resurrection, took us in a direction we could not imagine. It's counterintuitive, and sometimes we struggle to comprehend fully. For lovers of history, now if you don't love history, just say a prayer or something if you get bored to tears. That's fine. I like a little historical context. But for the lovers of history, in the year 335, Constantine built two basilicas in Jerusalem. One is built on the site of the Holy Sepulchre. And in the course of excavating for this church, the story is that the cross of Christ, which Christ was crucified on, was discovered. And Cyril of Jerusalem, who some consider a reliable source, wrote in the year 350 about this. Now, there's a less reliable story that Saint Helena, Constantine's mother, was one who discovered the cross. Not one, but three crosses were found, and it is said that Helena was able to decide which one belonged to Christ by applying the cross to a dead man, the three crosses to a dead man. One brought the dead man to life, and this was declared the cross of Christ. Whether true or not, that's an interesting little story. The theology of the cross, which Luther wrote about, speaks to us about a God who meets us in our weakness, in these places that seem impossible, or like endings, or challenges too big to tackle or even comprehend. The disappointments, the losses and grief, the big moves, the health challenges, and the tensions of life. God is there, giving life, being love, nudging us into a new way of being where all can live with dignity and respect. God meets us in these moments, transforming the fragile vulnerability of our human experience with the presence of the crucified Christ. Now, as Lutherans, we believe that God is closest to humanity in the cross and promises to be near us in our own times of weakness, suffering, existential angst, and even death, of course. And God often works in the deep messes of the world, mysteriously but faithfully, uncovering and unearthing the complex beauty in places and people. Now, for a chunk of the summer holidays, I'm up where there is not much internet. Thanks be to God. Because of this, I take a break from the news, and it's delightful, and I obviously take a break from social media. I'm back now, so I'm re-engaging the news and doing a little bit of social media, but I just realized this good function where you can put limits on the intake because it's an echo chamber. So you can set a limit. I set mine for 15 minutes a day. When that's over, a prompt comes up and says you've had your limit. You can obviously bypass that, but it's a good reminder of how much you've used. I suggest it. Happenings in the world this week have put a spotlight again on the polarization. The differing viewpoints are sometimes incomprehensible. The falsehoods rear their nonstop banter, violent actions, violent words, so much to condemn. But we hear in the gospel that God doesn't come to condemn. Jesus comes to save. Jesus comes to heal the hurt and the hatred. Violence is not the way to change what's wrong with the world. Violence will not change what's wrong with the world. And there is no place for violence in the world. But how do we move the conversation beyond this polarization? I don't think I have the answer to that, but it's obviously something that I'm very concerned about. How do we move the circles on the Venn diagrams so that the circles overlap and have some commonality in the center? Because right now, for some, it seems like they are so far apart. The rhetoric and narratives coming from the extreme seem to not have any common ground. And we need that common ground. The narrative needs to change from false narratives to narratives where there is a middle and common ground that recognizes the humanity in each other. A middle ground with Christ crucified in our midst, mediating and nudging us towards life together that doesn't hurt, but heals. Liberia, West Africa, 2003. After more than a decade of civil war, the nation was exhausted. Villages were destroyed, families scattered, children, mostly the boys, forced into armies, and thousands upon thousands of lives lost. The violence seemed unstoppable. Men with guns ruled the day, and fear lived in every home. But in the midst of that darkness, a movement began, not with weapons, not with power, not with violence, but with mothers. Ordinary women, Christian and Muslim, women and grandmothers came together and they said, "We cannot sit back while our children are killed. Enough is enough." And they decided to act. And women without children acted as motherly figures, saying, "When your children are hurt, they become my children. Caring for them is also my responsibility." The women wore simple white dresses, a symbol of peace. They gathered in fields and marketplace and outside government buildings. Day after day, they prayed together, sang together, and held hands and locked arms in solidarity. And their numbers grew and grew. And at one point, when political leaders refused to sign a peace deal, the women surrounded the presidential palace and they locked arms and they refused to let them out until they reached an agreement. They risked their lives with nothing but their voices, their prayers, their song, and their determination to stop the war, to stop the violence. Lo and behold, they succeeded. Their movement became known as the Women of Liberia Mass Action for Peace, and it was instrumental in ending the civil war. Soon after, Liberia elected its first female president. The mothers and women said, "Enough. No more violence, no more death, no more war. Enough is enough." Their unity, song, solidarity, and courage changed the course of a nation. They refused to let violence and despair have the final word. In times of polarization, when ears and hearts are shut down, when people are reacting instead of thoughtfully responding, the actions of peaceful resistance communicate much. When will polarized sides say enough is enough and listen to each other, recognizing the dignity of all? The message of the cross is that God is love, and to love is to stand in respectful awe of all God's creation. God is love. To love is to stand in respectful awe of all God's creation. To love is to respect the dignity and uniqueness of each person. In the hymn we're about to sing, "All Are Welcome," we repeat the opening words, "Let us build a house." And while we often think of this as the church, we talk about the rafters, I don't think this is just about the church. It can be our narrative for what we build in the world, with our family, our friends, and our neighbors, near and far. Let us build a house where our hands will reach beyond the wood and stone, to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and live the world they've known. Hear the outcast and the stranger, bear the image of God's face. Let us bring an end to fear and danger. Lovely, thank you. Let's sing it together now. We will stand, it's hymn number 641, "All Are Welcome."
Thank you.
gracious God, we come to you in prayer for the church, the world, and all in need, responding to God of grace with hear our prayer. Sustaining God, guide your church on the way. Give us patience in our journey and protect us from division and doubt. May we look to the cross and live. God of grace, hear our prayer. Creator God, renew the earth. Heal our planet from the venom of greed and exploitation, and direct us to respect all life as a gift from you. May we look to the cross and live. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of wisdom, grant discernment to those in authority. Thwart the plans of the proud, bring low the mighty, and uphold those who work for peace. May they seek the way of the cross and live. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of grace, alleviate suffering, comfort the sick, the grieving, and those impacted by gun violence. Especially, we think of Kevin, Betty, Annika, Judy, Yvonne, Jeanette, Megan, Henry, Maureen, and John. Come to the aid of those who are hungry or needing shelter. May they find hope in the cross and live. God of grace, hear our prayer. Good Shepherd, guide your flock. Protect us from the world's lies and lead us in the way of truth. Strengthen us in our faith and inspire us to serve others. May we follow you to the cross and live. God of grace, hear our prayer. Merciful God, you receive into your loving embrace those who have died. Giving thanks for them, may we find comfort in the cross and live in the hope of resurrection. God of grace, hear our prayer. We entrust these prayers to you, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and friend. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's share God's peace with each other.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through our goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached the good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us and keep us in his grace. Amen. Just a few announcements. The devotional books, we're always waiting on one. One comes early, we're waiting on the other. So we're waiting on the large print Christ in Our Homes. As soon as it's here, we'll have it out in the narthex, and the delivery team will have it to those of you who get your devotionals delivered. Next Sunday, there is a barbecue after worship, and Sunday school resumes. Alleluia, we have a confirmation class this year, and that will be starting soon as well. And you'll notice the announcement about the October 5th conversation that we're having with Emil downstairs. We're planning chili. We go forth with God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you with grace and with mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll stand for ascending hymn 545. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing.
Do not lose heart. Thanks be to God.